Welcome to News 24 on Air. Hello, I'm Sibusiso Mjikeliso, the Sport Deputy Editor. This is our listen live to tackle the Stormers versus the Bulls URC quarterfinal. Will it be a sixth straight Capetonian win or a Bulls bounce back? With me is my colleague and friend Heinz Schenk, who is our senior sports writer. Heinzy, let's get straight into it. What's going to happen in Cape Town this weekend?
The Stormers will probably win, Sabu.
All right, open the shut case, let's go.
Yeah, so we can finish now. There's an interesting narrative bubbling under the surface, is that there's obviously a popular one that it's a one-off game. And we saw the Bulls can do it. I thought it was nothing short of a miracle that they won in Leinster last year in Dublin. And I suppose all the theory about applying that to this game as well is perfectly valid. But I'm just wondering, that thing that you mentioned, the prospect of 6-0, that sort of like really does suggest there's a mental block. I don't think it's an issue of resources and in terms of one team being stronger than the other. I just think there's something not right with the mental preparation nowadays when it comes to the Bulls playing against Stormers or Western Province. I mean, we even saw it last weekend. I mean, that was a very strong Bulls lineup that went to Western Province and lost 31-7. I mean, it's not like it was a close one where you can even say, you know, oh, they tried and maybe something just went against them. You know, when you lose 31-7, I think it was that, against a Curry Cup team, essentially, then there's something amiss, even if it's, I think, just mental, to be honest.
No, I have to agree. I have to agree with you. I mean, just for some context, the Bulls have never beaten the Stormers in a URC fixture since the advent of the United Rugby Championship. That's five victories in a row, including last year's final, which was in Cape Town. So this is pretty much a rematch. But not only that, Western Province did the double over two very, very strong teams, Blue Bulls teams in the Curry Cup, which were coached by Jake White, the first of which was at Loftus, where Jake took the reins from Edgar Marutlule sort of midway through his very brief four-game tenure, you can say that. And under the pretext that, okay, they were playing the following week in the URC after a lengthy break, and he wanted to get his big guys, you know, match ready, only to be beaten, you know, I think a 41-33, which is, you know, a bigger margin at Loftus than even the Stormers have managed. And then you go to last weekend, and then the Western Province kids basically humiliate a pretty URC-looking team. I think I agree with you there in terms of, you know, the mental block. But do you think for me, I've also looked at the way the two teams play. Obviously, they have different attacking and defensive strategies. The Bulls attacking their way, and when they get you, they really, really get you. So with the Leinster sort of B or C team that they humiliated at Loftus, you saw with Zebre what they did to them at Ellis Park. So, but the Stormers seem to be stylistically the Bulls' Achilles heel. I'm not sure if you'd agree. What is it that the Stormers do that the Bulls just simply cannot counter?
I'm wondering if it's perhaps just the clarity of thought, because there's a very clear identity when it comes to the Stormers. And I think we saw it actually last weekend as well, is that that clarity gives so much confidence that even a second string side, you know, one which you wouldn't necessarily expect to front up in a URC quarterfinal, and they obviously won't, but the clarity gives so much confidence that you can push, but it seems that you can push any type of player in that Stormer system and they would get the job done. In terms of the Bulls, I sometimes wonder if it's, I think it might be a coaching problem, but not necessarily in terms of a Jake coaching problem, a detail problem. Because, because like you say, when they get it right, they really do get it right. I mean, it's no mean feat beating a Leinster C, maybe B team, 62-7. That's what you want when you're playing your best team against the C team. That's comprehensive enough. I get that. But I'm just wondering, in terms of how they need to approach this game is very simple. is they need to go and play a counter-attacking but also a low-risk game. And in all honesty with you, the occasion probably is very conducive to that. You know, there's a lot at stake here, so you're going to play low-risk rugby. But I'm just wondering if they are refined enough at the moment, you know, to do that, because it's all good and well saying that you need to go down there and you need to defend for your life and capitalize on mistakes. But the fact of the matter is that they haven't defended that well, actually. They really have experienced a void in terms of defense since Joey Mongalu has gone. So again, I'm not actually sure if it's a team playing style problem or something. I just think certain fundamentals aren't being executed, and I think that might actually be the thing that proves the stumbling block for them. Not necessarily the fact that they don't have a game plan to counter the Stormers. I just think it's an execution thing, to be honest.
Yeah, they seem to, you know, be unable to work around the quick transition play that the Stormers have. I mean, the Stormers have a good defense, not the greatest defense. I think it can be get at. You know, as we've seen with Munster getting a win down in Cape Town, as we saw with the shambolic Exeter sort of last quarterfinal game in Devon. So I think the Stormers can be gotten at, but they're well rested now. So how do you think the Stormers will approach a game where they last played 2 weeks ago, they played Benetton, very turgid performance just to get over the line. They'd lost their second spot, which would have given them a guaranteed semi-final if they'd held on to it after losing to Munster at home. Then they play Benetton at the Downing Craven Stadium. Then it was just like one of those games where we just want to win and get the hell out of here. Now they're well rested. The Bulls, you'd say they got that break last week where there was a Champions Cup semi-finals and none of the South African teams were involved. So they got some rest, but they've been playing since Toulon, since the knockout game against Toulon in the last 16. They've played near full strength teams. When I say full strength, I mean your guys like Kurt Lee will be involved, Kurt Lee Aronson, your Kanan Moody's will be involved, your Marco van Staden will be involved. And they've been going at it bar last week. In fact, they played last week, so they didn't even get the benefit of that break. So how do you think that will play out, the difference between the rest and rhythm?
It's very interesting that you mention that, because Jake has made the point quite pertinently over the past few weeks, is that firstly, they're not in a position or don't have the luxury to rotate, which I understand. But also what's interesting is that he said he learned this season that this core group of players just seem to perform better when they have a couple of games under the belt, which it's proven. It's proven. After he came back and they won that game against Griquas in the Currie Cup, yes, which sort of like signaled their turnaround, he stuck to a core squad. And it just seems that
five in a row after that.
Exactly. Group of players just don't seem to, I wouldn't say embrace, but it just doesn't seem that they respond well to being rested in the middle of a, let's say, five-match cycle. And the Stormers, I would have said, might have been at a disadvantage. I thought, you know, by resting them after Benetton, they might lose a bit of match fitness momentum. I know it's not a great term to use, but that's, I think it pretty much, you know, encapsulates what I'm trying to say, is that they might have lost a bit of momentum, you know, which you get, you know, from having played 17 games already this campaign and stuff. But now I think the fact that the dirt trackers, if you want to call them that, have landed a huge psychological blow in winning so comprehensively last weekend. Yes. Now Kitsy and the guys might say, we might not quite have match fitness on our side, but this team has been mentally battered, so we are up for this. Yeah.
Look, I have to let our listeners know, just to put this into context, the Western Province team, I mean, at nine they had Godlin Masimla, who's very much a third string scrum half. He's been around a while, but they had KK Murabe at number eight. They had a kid called Luke Berger and Cornell Smith in the outside back. Sasha Mgomezulu was probably one of the more senior guys with with Clayton Bromwich's at 15 and Jean-Luc Duplessis, who ran the show last weekend. They were up against Kirtley Arensa, Wandisile Simelane, Stedman Cornell Hendricks, David Creel. Those guys all, bar Wandy, they all won that back-to-back Currie Cup titles in 2021. The only guy I'd say was pretty junior was Keegan Johannes in that back line. Mm-hmm. In the forwards, you still had Marco van Staden, you still had Janko Swanepoel, you had Charlie Ewells, the England international. And the front row, I think the Bulls front row is never going to be that strong anyway. So Gerard Steenkamp was a starter in the URC. Then you got Jan-Hendrik Wessels and Francois Klopper to complete the front row. So you can obviously see which was the stronger of the two teams coming into that Currie Cup game. And I think it's the scoreline discrepancy that really, really shocks a lot of people. Rito Hlongwane said this week that, you know, the Currie Cup doesn't matter anymore. But it has to matter psychologically. It just, you can't ignore the fact that this URC team lost to kids last week.
And exactly, Sabu. And also, it's interesting that you mentioned the scoreline discrepancy, because also to put it into context is that the Stormers had their scoreline inflated by two intercept tries. But the thing is I still believe that against a side of that Western Province caliber, the Bulls' attack is experienced enough and pedigreed enough to not have forced it in that type of way. Mm. To try and force things to that extent that you concede two tries. In fact, actually, one of the tries was conceded to a debutant named Damian Marcus, who was at schools the last year.
Do you know what? Funny enough, they even had another debutant at Loftus as well, was in high school, a Bishop's kid whose name I forget now from the top of my head. But continue, yeah.
But so the thing is, to me, I just felt the manner in which they tried to push that Western Province defense. You know, they were obviously 17-7 behind, you know, but they still had, I think, a quarter of the game still to try and salvage things. And I'm just wondering if a team of that caliber shouldn't have done better, to be honest. You know, so, and that's why I think it was so morale-shattering, that defeat, is that even though they had the upper hand in the last quarter, they were just toothless on attack, you know. And to concede two intercept tries, you know, you can't just say, you know, oh, it was unlucky perhaps, you know.
Yeah,
you clearly were out of your comfort zone and forced things really badly.
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned Bruce Sherwood is the kid that came off the bench at Loftus. So they had another kid come, you know, basically from high school, play against them, Damian Marcus, he said. And look, I mean, I look at the Bulls bench from last weekend. They still had Harold Foster. They had Chris Smith was there, designated number 10. You know, although Juan Hossein is back and he played, obviously he's a Springbok of renown. They had Kyle Brink, who often starts in the URC. Ruan Vermaak, the regular starter in the second row. Monet Smith, Juan Krobla, who's the starting hooker. That's a bench that they had, and they still could not affect the turnaround. But not to get stuck into what happened last week, we really want to get into what's going to happen this week. Now, the Stormers, by all sounds, is that Damian Willemse might play at fullback, taking over from Clayton Bromwich's, and that means Dan Duplessis could take the number 12 jersey. I don't know if Ruanel will be back. Obviously, he's just extended his family, so he would have enjoyed that long weekend very much so. But how do you see the sort of Willemse, Kirtley Arensa, Kanan Moody sort of battle going on? You know, I don't know if the Stormers will have Leolin Zas back, and it's just their back three is pretty uncertain because of injuries that they've had. I think Angelo Davids had to come back and play against Benetton. Siabelo Sinatla has been around, but he's also had his injury worries throughout the season. But the Bulls definitely have a more settled back three, if you include David Creel, who moved from fullback to the wing now. Obviously, Spunkosi has now been frozen out of the first team there at the Bulls while they trying to get him back on track. So how do you see that battle playing out?
It's interesting. You would think that the fact that you move Damian Willemse back to 15 is obviously a sign that you want to solidify your last bastion. Not necessarily just because you think there might be a kicking battle going on, but the fact also that you don't want necessarily want a more mercurial guy like Clayton Blomyke's, you know, taking undue risks. Not that I think he's actually done that. He's actually been a perfect fit, to be honest, for Warwick, as Warwick Gallant's replacement and stuff. It could simply be mind games, to be honest, because immediately you expect that they're going to be bombarded with kicks and that Willemse, with his better boot, might actually play for the exit, you know, and just try and be more solid, you know. But the thing is, you're not taking a lot of attacking sting out of your back line by replacing, you know, Clayton Blomyke's with Damian Willemse. It's perfectly fathomable that they might actually just run it back, you know. And to be honest, that's one of the interesting points for me, is that there's no reason personally for me for the Stormers to fall back on what they've been doing, you know, this past season. I think even though the stakes are high, I think the Bulls are vulnerable enough mentally that they can just play their normal free-flowing transitional game and focus on getting, you know, their dominance at the set piece as well, you know, particularly at scrum time and stuff. In terms of the Bulls, I'm thinking Jake White should be more primal, to be honest. I think if there's one way the Bulls might actually, like, at least just plant a seed of doubt in the Stormers, it's like saying, listen, I'm going to pick my biggest pack, and I think what a trick they might miss is not picking Mornay Steyn. Not only because I think he's the type of game manager that might help get Kurtley Arendse and Kanan Moody into the game with the tactical kicking as well, but I also think it sort of like suggests to you, like, we are going to come for you, and if you are going to be ill-disciplined, we are going to have this guy in our pocket and he's going to pop over the penalties and stuff.
I just think
having Mornay Steyn in your lineup tells you we are here to bully you. And I'm just,
do you think it'll be like what Rusty and Jacques did for the British and Irish Lions decider, that the third game, putting Mornay there, letting you know we have that ace up?
100%, because it falls into that thing. It goes back to my point, is the overall narrative is that the Stormers have no reason to fall back on their game plan, for example, even though it's a tight and very high stakes occasion. But by doing that, by saying, listen, we're going to pick a monster pack and we have a kicking fly who's 38 years old, knows everything that needs to be known about knockout rugby, you just sort of like tell the Stormers, okay, sure, but maybe, you know, there might be something brewing here. Maybe this is going to be a more gritty battle than it should be. That's what I'm thinking.
But my worry is, okay, you put Mornay Steyn, Manie Lebok really gets up for this fixture. This is his game. He loves it. You know, he really gets up for this. In many ways, Damian Willemse as well, who was linked with a Bulls move for quite a while before he signed his long-term contract. It's these players that really make a difference for them when it comes to this fixture. How do you see Manie Lebok, who obviously when things went wrong against Exeter, things went wrong against Munster with his boot, and then the old kind of people saying Manie is not a Springbok started reverberating, but came back. How do you think he's gonna approach this game against the Bulls?
I think to be honest, there's no reason for him to actually to fall back on. I'm not even sure if I want to say old habits, because, you know, the old habits he had, you know, are irrelevant to me. You know, he's totally transformed his game at the Stormers and stuff. And the fact of the matter is that he played out of his skin for a year and a half. He was bound to have an off day.
Yeah.
He was bound. And in the end, when you think about it, it wasn't even that bad. You know, they still only lost by 2 points. You know, it literally just required one kick
one
to go
over.
So to be honest, that shows you how fine the margins is. 3 out of 7 versus 4 out of 7. Does it really make that big a difference? You know, in terms of the fact of the matter, it wasn't a great kicking performance that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it wasn't horrible.
I'd go, they're different players, but you see what a bad kicking day can do for you. Cohen Bosch in January 2021, Curry Cup final at Loftus, they were the better team of that competition, but just couldn't nail down a home final for one reason or another. And then they had to go to Loftus to play that. Then Cohen who was impeccable the whole season, had that one game, and then it just spiraled into a year-long, you know, out of form.
Yet,
Cohen Bosch.
Yet, unlike the Sharks, the Stormers have that fail safe. Is that that's why I say Marnie Lubbock can just go out and play his natural game, because if he still isn't feeling it, the Stormers' pattern is so interchangeable that Dobbo can say, dude, go and find your feet at fullback again. Yeah. We'll bring Damien up and let him play at 10. I mean, he's played 10 at Twickenham, you know, and
absolutely
and prevailed, yeah. you know, quite comfortably. My point is just, I think Marnie Lubbock is going to be fine, because also the system allows him to, if he's not on song, you know, you can bring the class of Damien Willems up front.
I think that's the beauty of the system. That is a beauty of the system. We've seen it with the box when Pollard is really off. He defers that first receiver role to Willie LaRue. And Damien, if you remember Damien playing 10, him and Willie playing so well at I think it was Loftus against Wales when they needed to get a turnaround going after a very fast Welsh start. So I think that's a good point, Heinze, is that there is that fail-safe, but also there's, you know, a Springbok that's really grown into his skin in Damien Willemse. We've had a great conversation, Heinze. You saying the Stormers will go hell for leather. I think the Bulls might actually surprise people in Cape Town, but maybe I'm judging it off the Zebre and the Leinster results, which were great. I don't know what the mental block will be like, but final thoughts. How do you think the pitch will play come the actual game?
That's the one thing that plants seeds of doubt into how I see the game turning out. I still think the Stormers have enough, because what's interesting about that 5-match losing streak is that most of them have been quite close. Actually, a decision here, a bit of luck there, the Bulls might have actually overturned, you know, those results.
Absolutely.
I think the pitch is going to even out things. I think maybe the Stormers might not be able to assert their dominance at scrum time because the pitch is so loose. You can't go too low. You have to go up higher, and that evens things out. Mm. You'll see that actually in Nick Mallett's column, you know, tomorrow. He talks about it as well. So I'm wondering perhaps if the pitch and those type of conditions might even it out, which gives credence to your thoughts that the Bulls might actually surprise. But even if conditions even out, I'm just wondering about that mental preparation.
Mental block. Well, there you have it. Bulls traveling to Cape Town to face the Stormers in the URC quarterfinal. Kickoff is at 3:30 on Saturday at Cape Town Stadium. Those will be lucky enough to be there. You guys are in for a treat. For the rest of us, we'll have to watch it off TV. But thank you so much for joining this News 24 on-air conversation with myself, Sibusiso Mjikeliso, my colleague and friend, Heinze Schenk. And we will catch you on the next one.